The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gaudini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. by compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of understanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a reminder before we begin that we do record Sunday morning groups and make them available to monthly donors. What would you like to look at this morning?
Well, a couple things. One, just want to participate, kind of continuing on with that same theme of speaking up when, you know, not really sure or not really stable on what to say or any of that. Feeling a little bit of energy. Mm-hmm. And I think what it was coming in, just as you said, what shall we look at, was, and I don't really have clarity on any of this, but what does it mean to transition from living in a process of fear to living in a process of love?
So looking at that, what is it like to transition from living in a process of fear to living in a process of love.
Yeah, yeah. And that feels really fearful.
It feels fearful just to say that.
Yeah.
Or to,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Just to kind of say it out loud in a way.
Yes.
Because one, it kind of just acknowledges that, you know, one of the things that I think I spoke about before was how there's kind of a hiding or a shield or, you know, I can't let anybody see that, you know, fear exists for me, or, you know, kind of there's like a shame around it in a way. And so to kind of just say it, that, you know, that's kind of a big process that operates.
And one of the ways that you're kept silent is with this, what is it, rightless fear or shame about what you're saying, is it's difficult to reveal that. Or
yeah.
There's some kind of judgment, it sounds like,
there
about
is.
That being revealed to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like, you know, so what's supposed to be showed to others is like a certain image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so an image that would be, you know, that I'm always relaxed. Mm-hmm. You know, things are good with me, you know.
I've got it together.
You know, things to get, you know, people to, you know, like me or to notice me in a certain light or to be in a certain way. And so kind of seeing that all that's kind of conditioning and that's just the posturing that it does. So just kind of putting it out there that, you know, the fear is, I don't know how to say it, just it's kind of a big process, and I'm looking at how to kind of transcend or transition out of having attention going to that or acting from that, and really looking at it more from the perspective of, well, what would all of this be like if, you know, like if I love myself, or if, you know, I really enjoy myself, or I like this human being exactly as he is, you know, so kind of instead of trying to fix or improve or make myself better, try and be perfect, you know, what would it be like to just you know, expose and enjoy the foibles and the idiosyncrasies and the insecurities and all of that.
Sounds like there's somebody that's looking at the possibility of practicing what it'd be like to be in the process of love.
Yeah.
And what that would be like. And meeting the same kind of content in your life, but being in the process of love with it rather mm-hmm. than the process of fear.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to put it. Because it is, it's, you know, everything's kind of the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I anticipate, you know, big external changes in my life, mm-hmm. you know, as I'm going through this. But it seems more like I just had an experience right here as you were speaking. What came in was this little bolt of energy that kind of shot up through my stomach. And what I heard with it was, what you're saying is stupid. And so it's just, and I could feel my heart kind of clench. And I could feel then the posturing wanting to come in. Okay, well now you've got to extend the conversation. You've got to get it to a point where what's being said is like worthy or, you know, that whole kind of checklist of things. And so, yeah.
It's really interesting and great awareness practice that you notice that little bolt, that tiny little bolt of energy and watching everything that it gave birth to, the whole conversation that rose out of that.
Yeah. You know, it is interesting because that's, you know, that's more of, you know, that's more realistic in terms of what perhaps the practice will look like. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, like, so if I go with that, then that's kind of, you know, that's feeding the fear. You know, that's kind of living in, you know, it's disempowering and it gives all the, it's like that thing has power over me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That little bolt. That little sensation.
Yeah.
And all of the,
yeah.
Without a process of examination and questioning, you know, is that so?
Totally.
Does that little bolt of energy mean that?
Yeah.
You know, I should keep my mouth shut.
That everybody thinks I'm an idiot. That everybody even would be thinking about it.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is at the crux of it.
Yeah.
That, you know, the place where all of that originates, like, you know, that sounded stupid or you're looking at, the origin of that is that people come on Sunday morning to listen to David. I mean, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And to think that, like, that goes on moment by moment by moment. Mm-hmm. You know, placing kind of the me right at the center of the universe.
Oh, but wouldn't it be something that ego would love so much that everybody comes to listen to me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And in essence, that's what it's continually doing.
That's constantly what it's doing, yeah. And therefore, giving birth to needing to say the right thing, needing to be seen in a certain way, needing to look a certain way, act a certain way, get approval, be accepted, kind of get all these, you know, its needs, get all of them met by them, which I'm guessing originates back to the little child getting needs met by mom and dad, somewhere in there, you know. So, so glad to have kind of, you know, just put it out there. I'm still feeling a sense of kind of a lot of energy and a lot of nervousness around stuff.
And as you saw with that little sensation, you know, their sensations, and, you know, to look at the stories that get attached to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm projecting right now what you're practicing is those sensations are rising, you're sitting with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, finding out, hey, birds are singing.
Yeah.
Everything's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing has shifted.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, in the world, you know, nothing's falling down.
That's right. Yeah. What dropped in as you said that was, and I love you anyway.
And I love you.
You know, it's that place of, yeah, you can be a bumbling idiot. You know, I don't care. You know, and who says you are?
Exactly. Who is saying that?
Okay, so you either are, and I don't care, or you're not, and who's saying that, and I love you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, so anyway, that's kind of what's going on.
And just to go back to the beginning, you said that, you know, you didn't have clarity with what you'd like to share.
Uh-huh.
And what a wonderful place to speak from.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the opportunity in these groups.
Yeah.
Is to bring something that has no clarity and to, you know, get more clarity with it.
I'm so glad you transitioned us back to that, because, you know, in some ways the movement out of living in a process of fear into living in a process of love,
mm-hmm.
it feels like that can only be done with openness.
Mm-hmm.
And the openness, you know, doesn't come from a place of, I know exactly what I'm going to say, I know how I'm going to be, I know what I'm going to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole closed,
yeah.
fearful place. It's more like that raw, open, vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
you know, this could be
mm-hmm.
rough, it could be smooth, whatever it is. Like, I feel, yeah, that seems like,
yeah.
I'm glad you brought it to that, because that really has been my experience, that every time going up against it,
mm-hmm.
whether it be here in group or in other
mm-hmm.
kind of walks
mm-hmm.
of practice, just the little going up against it's like that.
And certainly in the ongoing, open, continually changing nature of life, that's all unfolding moment by moment. How could we ever know? How could we ever have our whole speech prepared and, you know,
right.
know what we're going to look at? It's, you know,
it's so perfect, isn't it? Because the speech could be anything.
Yeah.
How can we have our life prepared?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of living in the process of fear, is living in preparation.
Yeah.
You know, like you're constantly preparing for the moment that never arrives,
uh-huh.
the moment to love. And it's just like, shoots, where did that life go? You know?
Right. And as you said, again at the beginning, and the opportunity is to practice the process of love.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. To practice the process of love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Thank you, Scream. Thank you.
Jen.
I'm in a kind of an inquiry as well. The sensation that's central that I've been noticing is just a in the solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to, every time, mean wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong. Something's wrong.
It's sort of a contraction, right?
Yeah, like a clenching.
There in that clenching.
Just a,
so people that are listening on the recorder can
yeah.
see it's like a closed fist clenching right there below the ribs.
Yeah. So what I've been looking at is the addiction to egocentric karmic conditioning
mm-hmm.
selfie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in the middle of a fun experiment this sort of weekend period of time. That's the period of time I've set aside for it. Where anytime there's anything not completely structured, it triggers a process of like, okay, you know, I've talked about this before, like, okay, what are we going to do, you know? And of course, it's all quote spiritual content. Because it's not like, okay, I'm going to go watch a movie, and then I'm going to go skiing, and, you know. But it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I could, like, read the evil class, and then I'll go,
yeah.
you know.
It's a spiritual to-do list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, what if I just spent whatever period of time just really looking at that? Because guaranteed it happens,
mm-hmm.
you know, just really looking at it and recording.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been making a ton of recordings, just
mm-hmm.
recording and recording. I mean, probably like 3 hours of recordings
mm-hmm.
in the last, you know, 24, 36 hours, something like that. And it's just been a fascinating process.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to what the first person talked about, I don't feel like I'm not in any place of knowing with it. But it's just a really interesting process to be. It feels a little bit like the email class assignment we're currently on, of just the way I'm seeing it is just playing, you know, in that game metaphor that we're using this year. Just playing the game.
Yeah.
And not letting ego make the, you know, the rules and the assessment but just experimenting with it.
So just playing the game, not experimenting. I mean, it sounds like you're experimenting in a way with that discovery or
mm-hmm.
inquiry, you
mm-hmm.
know, just looking, but
mm-hmm.
not from the way of trying to be a better spiritual person
right.
or, you know, trying to do
yeah.
another thing to cross off the list.
And that's the thing, actually, that as you said that, I saw that that's where the sensation of wrong comes in. Because mm-hmm. that's what it, what ego-centered karmic conditioning self-hate is constantly trying to do to bring the attention back to it, is even as I'm recording, it's like it will just introduce in a, you know, it doesn't even have to say a sentence. It's just, boom, I don't think that's the right direction. You know, are you sure? Because like, so for example, this morning I was, you know, been recording. And then I was reading some email class responses, and in one of them, Sherry was talking about, yes, and someone was saying, like really watching what ego-centered karma conditioning is up to, and Sherry was saying, you know, great, and we don't want to give it all of it, all of our attention. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of that thing of really putting the attention on life. So then it was like, you know, that third chakra, kind of, uh-oh.
In life, yeah.
And it was so interesting to watch, like, in that millisecond was like, everything you've just done for the last 36 hours has been wrong, and you shouldn't be doing it. And quick, you've got to, and what was so fascinating is the first thing I was aware of is wanting to do something to distract myself.
Uh-huh. Oh, very
like,
good.
Like, go eat something, or go whatever. Uh-huh. And so I had, because I was recording the responses, I had the recorder on. So I just recorded all of that. Uh-huh. And what came out of it was, well, let's see. So if we've spent a lifetime trapped in a process of essentially, I mean, the way I've been looking at it is being talked into attempting to satisfy ego. Of course, it never presents, because that would be so obvious. I'm not going to give my life to attempting to satisfy ego, but that's what it is, basically. Which, of course, can never be done because ego doesn't actually want to be satisfied. It wants to be dissatisfied. So if I've been trapped in that process forever, as long as I've known, basically, then experimenting for a couple of days with just, you know, like recording everything I can see about that, doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of danger in that.
Yeah. God, man, it just so loves to just, you know, any way that it can keep the attention.
Exactly.
It's like if it can get something with spiritual practice,
exactly.
You know, and make that, we think that we're on this, you know, doing the right spiritual practice thing, and instead the focus is actually on ego.
Yeah.
What you're seeing.
Yeah.
And hey, so, you know, after a lifetime of, you know, what you start out with addiction to
truly addiction,
egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
Yeah.
You know, so you have this practice, this 3-hour practice of, you know, turning your attention away from it, and so it's an inquiry. So we'll see.
Exactly, we'll see. I've got all those recordings to listen back to, and so, you know, the other thing I saw was, okay, well, let's So we've been doing this for whatever, 36 hours, and we've got another however many to go. So how about, at this point, we practice with, and I laid out the summary, kind of like, you know, Ashwini does so brilliantly in a retreat. Okay, so what we've seen so far is...
the arc of the...
You know? Yeah. So I did the little arc of where we've been since Friday night. We've seen this, what it's trying to do is this, and how it does it is this, and here's the conversation, and here's the sensations. Uh-huh. Okay, so we've got this like 3-minute summary of that. How about for the next whatever period of time we practice, those are cues and we're going to turn the attention to. So instead of keep, so now we've pretty much got its program. Now let's start putting some attention on what we want instead. Uh-huh. You know, and start just, thank you, and I choose peace, and I choose compassion, you know, the beautiful whatever, and then just see what happens with that, because you know it's going to go insane.
So if I understand what you said, like you've mapped out some cues that are triggers that, oh, I know where this is, you know, egocentric kind of conditioning, self-hate. I know that it's there with the signposts, go, you know, go this way. So now when you see those cues, what you're practicing is having the life experience that you would like to have.
Yeah.
That which is not dissatisfaction, not suffering, but, you know, peace, calm, love, whatever it is.
Yeah.
and kind of beat it at its own game.
Yeah, and to truly practice.
And to truly practice.
Truly practice in the sense of, you know, we talk about this all the time, to not look at, you know, how am I feeling?
Yeah.
Is it working?
Yeah, that just arose too, you know. I know I can get caught up in thinking it's just such a big, hard deal, you know, with a lot of many steps in order to turn the attention or change a, an addiction to that kind of suffering, that kind of, but indeed, it's just choosing a different process, you know, and going there.
Yeah, just training.
Yeah, just training. You don't have to understand why that you have that karmic priest, the physician, you don't have to, you know, but to just start practicing.
Yeah. And, you know, just one little last piece of it that just dropped in was, so the whole thing is around, like, even if it's, quote, spiritual, it's being productive, right? Like, because, so one of the things I decide on Friday night, no lists, and it's like, so there's, and usually, you know, they're not, they're good lists. You know, I want to do this, and I can hear the things I could do at my house, and hear the, and then I just choose, but still, there's a sense of, like, being pushed, you know, like, okay, I'll quickly do a little of that, so then I can do some of that. So, no lists. So, last night and this morning, being around the building, as things arrived, you know, came up into when I saw things that needed to be attended to, I attended to them. And meanwhile, ego's going crazy. This is not your job. You don't have time for this. And I'm like, wait, I don't have time for this? Because there's nothing on my list. It's not bedtime. So what do you mean I don't have time for this? I have nothing I'm supposed to be doing. But you can't sweep it, you know. So anyway, if something would arise, I'd just do it, record about it. And then I had this most amazing experience this morning because I came to the building for a group, and that conversation is happening. See, this isn't working. You have nothing to show for your time. And I had kind of forgotten, I guess, about, you know, just all those other things. So I walked through the archway, and it's beautifully swept. And I walked into the composting toilet, and it has sawdust in it. And I walked in, and I was like, oh my gosh, it was like someone else did that. And it was, and what I saw was, that's not for me. It's not I. I didn't get anything from that. It's not my house that's clean. It's not, you know.
It was just for the love of the compost.
And, you know,
for the love of the
I'm sure on some level it was. But what I was aware of is it was just what was in my awareness. And so I did it. And it was for me, of course, in the sense of the, that what the reason I was doing it is to go up against the prison of ego. Because ego says, come on, it's Saturday night. Get out of here. Go have your life. And I'm like, this is my life. Leave me alone.
Wow. I'm so reminded of what Glenda just shared, Sherry said recently. A to-do list is a list you write down things you don't want to do. And you did, I mean, that was a demonstration of that.
Yeah.
It was in your awareness, you did it.
Exactly.
No need to put it on a
you
list.
Know, and I saw something last night, too, about lists. When I was like, wow, you know what lists are? Lists are just simply the things that, so this certain thing actually needs to get done today, and I might forget it. That's all a list is. Nothing else needs to go on a list. So, like, you know, this at my house at some point I want to do, and this at my house at some point I want to do. I'm not going to forget those things. And when it's time to do them, I'll do them.
Wow, what a great point.
So I don't need it on a list.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay, the left side, I mean, the right, my right side. A little chance. Okay.
Well, I'm right there this morning with this whole conversation, and couple of things in particular. So the class, email class that I really, really appreciated the most was the one about, you know, what is it we say we're practicing for, and what is it we're actually practicing, which really, this conversation is really reinforcing for me and has been what I've been looking at. Because, you know, what I say that I'm practicing for is all the things that I see that practice makes available, you know, all this peace and joy and love and ease and comfort and presence and generosity, you know, all that. That's what I'm practicing for. But what in my karmic system I practice most is being right, being good, getting it all done, don't making mistakes, don't make waves, don't let any call attention to this, being just, you know, leave me alone, and that's what I practice. You know, so I've really been looking at that, and I've had some real opportunities. This one particular thing, I've got this opportunity in the next 3 months to actually do a job out in the world that is probably what I would say is the most fun job I could ever have imagined having. And so it's like there's all this excitement about it, and now that I'm in the training process for doing this job, where I end up is, oh my God, there's no way I'm ever going to remember all this stuff. You know, I'll never get it right. You know, this poor person's going to come back from their sabbatical and it's going to be disastrous. You know, they will have lost money. I mean, you know, that's where I went to and what I was considering the most possible fun I could ever have. So, I mean, I just saw it right there.
You saw that process.
There it is.
A switch from the process of being in the most fun you ever had to, oh my God.
I know, I can't do this. This is impossible.
I can't do this right. I'm going to get it wrong.
I'm the wrong person. I never should have been asked to do this job. So, what I really saw in that, and it's what's been pointed to this morning, is that, you know, I am addicted to that process.
Yeah.
I am. I mean, that's the process I know best.
That process of being right.
Being right, mm-hmm. and not making the mistake, not having any bad attention to the mistake. And I got, so, you know, the reason that that process is so familiar and so me is because that's what I practice. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just said, you know, the only way to stop that is to practice something else. I mean, exactly what's being talked about in the email class and in practice, and you know, that's it. It's just, I just have to stop practicing that.
You know? Absolutely. Just clear and simple.
The
breadth of that particular practice is so deep that and without awareness, without consciousness, the attention just falls into that rut and it's never questioned.
Yeah.
It's just who I am.
Yeah. That's right.
But indeed there's a process to dig another.
Yes. Path. So I just have chosen the mantra, I choose peace and love and joy, peace and joy, I choose peace and joy, and that's what I'm practicing. And you know, I really have to practice that, because I mean, I was even sitting here during the conversation, and this wife said, well, yeah, but what about in this case? You know, and I could feel the sensations start coming up, like, oh yeah, and that case, actually. But it's like, no, I choose peace and joy. I mean, and it's like over and over, you know. It's
no going to sleep.
That's right. Cherry was talking about that with somebody on one of the shows, or I forget where, there's so many places where it's all being talked about. But just know, you don't stop. Mm-hmm. You don't stop. Mm-hmm. And I realized that's, you know, until I reprogram what I practice, I'll end up right back there again. Mm-hmm. In the same place. So it's just so clear what the process is and what's required.
Yeah. Wow. So that's a really clear image of a person. There's the sign over there, peace, love, and joy, you know, but the path is not, hasn't been shoveled or cleared, you know. And then there's misery, you know, getting right, doing it, and then boy, that's a just super highway.
Right.
And you know, you just have to keep kind of like, oh God,
you know, the
super highway is like the easiest, but it's not half as much fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's being over here and
that's right.
Exploring, you know, going toward what my heart, as you started out, what my heart really desires.
Yeah.
What, you know, what I come to practice for.
Yeah.
And to never, never lose that focus, which is become your practice.
Yeah, exactly. And then the thing that I saw last night about making lists is, so yesterday I actually had one of those days where it was kind of, in a sense, up to me to plan it, because there wasn't anything I had to be out in the physical world to do, but there were a lot of things I wanted to do, and I actually did put them on the list just because I didn't want to forget them. And I had a great day, just, you know, and they were all fun things, you know, they were all things I wanted to do, I chose to do for you know, for me, for life. And I just had great fun doing them all and had a great day. And then I watched, and a la the current email class, the accounting happened at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And actually, yesterday was one of the days when it was like, wow, you got a lot done. You did all those things. But it's the same process as, oh my, you didn't do very much.
Yeah. The accountant is in.
The accountant comes in at the end of the day, and it's either, wow, that's great, I did this and this and this, or, oh boy, I had five things on there, and I only did two. Mm-hmm. Now what am I going to do the other three? So, you know, it's not, for me anyway, that I discovered that the list itself isn't the process, it's the accounting that's the problem, you know. The list is actually okay, as long as it's just a reminder, mm-hmm. is what was being said, like, this is something I want to do and it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. But if it's going to be held against me at some right. point in time, that's when it becomes a problem.
If the list is saved to review and estimate the worth of the person, it becomes a problem.
So just a reminder, I'm doing that because I choose peace and joy.
Peace and joy.
Not because I'm looking to be evaluated.
Yeah.
Whether I did it right and was once again the good person for having done all the things on the list.
Mm-hmm. It's so good to bring it to group that that's your focus. I choose peace and joy.
I choose peace
kind
and
of
joy.
Awesome. Just gives more support for the commitment.
Yeah.
Rebecca.
I'm watching this process go on as group is happening of connection, of this compulsive wanting to connect.
Wanting to connect.
Yeah. So it's like the way that process happens is happening like today is, so there's something said first. Okay, I know that I can connect. I got something to say that really is. I'm looking at that. Blah, blah. Next thing, oh good, I got something to connect. Right to that. Okay, and then as that's happening, there's no. I mean, there is obviously some articulating now, but there could be this resting in the awareness that wow, we really are one, and we're all connected no matter what happens. But what karmically happens is sort of a tracking of well. Okay, who am I connected? Who am I connected with? I gotta get in here and connect somehow.
Where do I fit in here? Where can I?
Exactly. Yeah. Where's my entrance ramp onto this highway? And I mean, processing. And so that's it's such it, in and in that karmic way. With the attention on that. It totally erases this being.
Yeah, and it sounds like it erases any opportunity for insight or, you know, to arise. Or it becomes the process becomes reinforcing an identity that has this need to connect or to belong.
Yes, exactly. It's reinforcing. And so, as that is then pointed out to me over and over more strenuously recently, it's what you just said a minute ago, that it's like, oh, this is going to take forever to undo this, you know? In fact, it happened, that message was being delivered a couple of days ago. Sometime when I was walking across the courtyard, this is going to be through, you know, you're going to have a tough stretch the next, you know, maybe year or more. And it's going to be really hard. And you're going to, and I just stopped and looked around at the beauty. And I just said back to it, well, if this is what's going to be hard, find me out. But actually, I can do this. Because I was just sitting in the middle of paradise, you know?
That's so interesting. In the middle of paradise, but what was not paradise was the conversation that was going on, and to just turn and call it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, this is what's real is the beauty I'm in right now.
Yeah. Yes, and really, it's as simple as you're indicating, it's just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple. And so anyway, one of the reasons I'm one of the things I'm looking at around the email class too is
this whole idea of keeping score. So mm-hmm. it was like, okay, if you really plod along for the next 8 months to 8 years of your life, then maybe you'll erase that rut, and you'll dig your other rut, and you'll be good, and you'll be all of that. And that quote from the email class, well, if winning and losing doesn't count, why are we keeping score?
Yeah.
I love that quote. It's like, what I'm saying about that is the reason we don't keep score is because it's totally irrelevant. Mm-hmm. That's why. I mean, there really is a winning and losing. I believe, it's like you either live or eco fails. Mm-hmm. There's a result there to what we do with our lives. Mm-hmm. But the scoreboard along the way is what is totally irrelevant and puts us in the camp of ego.
The scoreboard is. Ego is the one that wants the scoreboard. Ego, the scoreboard is the ego's advantage.
Yeah.
To its reinforcement. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. really irrelevant.
Yeah.
To the being of this, to life living itself.
Yeah, really irrelevant. And when those, like I'm about to go be with family and have been. I've been interacting with family more this past week because we've been planning a funeral, and just watching that process of where do I fit in, where do I get in on this? Where
the process I... that you started mm-hmm. you to spoke about in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I just kind of wanted to talk to get the support and to state the intention that it really is my intention to practice sticking, not letting this person get erased.
Not letting this person get erased, to stick with having, as we were talking about, the content is irrelevant. You've identified this particular process. Right now it's showing up in this content, which could have a lot of emotional charge, and but you're making a commitment to just stay with that practice of watching, watching the process go on, and the opportunity is to hold it all, in awareness and the compassion, and
no scores,
just
integrity with what my stated. The intention for my life. Yes.
The intention for your life. Okay. And so we were talking earlier, why you practice. What the heart calls you to practice for.
Mm-hmm.
And just keeping that in the forefront as you go through this
mm-hmm.
experience. And mm-hmm. and possibly having support lined up for yourself for this person going through that.
Mm-hmm.
To look at ways to keep her supported.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen.
I've started a workshop called I'm Adopting a Rescue Dog.
You're adopting a rescue dog.
And
you're seeing it as a workshop.
Oh, I think it's a big workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's bigger than a workshop. I don't know what it is, but I haven't had a dog since I was a kid.
Oh.
I make a decision quickly. There's a whole lot of stuff about that. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. You can't do that. You're not ready. Mm-hmm. But the reality seems so often. I've been thinking about getting a dog for like 15 years, right? And there's been this whole conversation about, you know, if you get a dog, you have to train it perfectly. And there are all kinds of conversations.
All kinds. Sounds like a lot of conversation about doing something that somebody is actually quite, I mean, really would enjoy doing. I mean, 15 years is a while to be, you know, this has been a heart's desire of someone.
Yeah, and I enjoy my friends' dogs, and we let them, they come and stay when my friends come. So anyway, I see this dog on Facebook, and I've been looking. I have a lot of friends that foster dogs and a lot of friends that rescue dogs, and I keep looking at their little faces, and then I saw this one face, and then I saw another picture of this dog, and I was just, it just felt like, well, that looks like that's my dog, or I ought to go see that dog, or, you know, so I just got in the car and we drove to Petaluma yesterday, and there was some fear about it. And we can't, you know, what you gotta decide. You don't have where you're gonna do this, and no, you're not ready, and you still have that project on the house, and now's not a good time. But I thought, you know, well, when is it a good time? Mm-hmm. What am I waiting for? Right. I'm a great cat owner. Mm-hmm. My cats couldn't have a better life. I mean, you know, really. I would be a good pet owner, you know? And I thought about the exercise, and, you know, I walk now, so, gee, I already walk. Dog's going to be exercised. It's so ridiculous. It's not, it's just what it is. But so I go down, and I sort of watched, you know, then there, you know, ego's just telling me, you know, what to do when I get out of the car. Oh, if you're going to use the restroom, don't even look at the dogs. What? Yeah, I have to use the restroom before I spend time with the dogs, but, oh, well, where are they? I'm going to look at the dogs. I mean, what? Anyway, it's just,
so,
I just, all these, it's so crazy, so. You know, and then there's these messages about, you know, well, look at that, you know, find that dog. You know, it's all this instruction about how I'm supposed to approach this situation, you know. And I'm pretty sure it was just, I don't know what it was about this dog. I don't need to know what it was or, you know. There was just something about that dog, you know, and Emily's message is, you have to know if it's the right dog. You know, do you have enough information to know if it's the right dog?
So that, it sounds like there was this intuitive knowing that this dog is the dog to come live with you. And then you got to watch this whole process with what ego does, probably, you know, with all kinds of content in your life, how it wants to stop you from listening to your insight, your intuition, what the heart says by a zillion and one different categories or conditions that it wants to put on what you're pulled toward doing. So in that way, it has been a really good workshop to see.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, so are we adopting this dog? Are we not adopting this dog? Are we adopting this dog? Is somebody else going to get this dog? So we just spent a lot of time there, and just seemed like this amazing dog, and I mean, like, great with the other dogs, not a barker, friendly with a strange dog, friendly with people, and it just seemed like this. You know, and ego didn't like the tail. I hadn't seen the tail. It was all about the face. So I'm going, well, there, what the tail? Look, the tail's wagging. That's cool. I mean, that dog seems, aren't dogs happy when they wag their tail? Look at that dog tail wagging, you know? I mean, just, so, this is an amazing organization. So they want to check our home. I mean, I know somebody adopted a dog already in our county from this place. That's how I knew about this place. So they want to see our home, as they should. They want to make sure probably I don't have 10 dogs or who knows what. But, and we were saying, you know, we're, you know, they said, you can't take the dog today. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, we'll bring the dog up. And I'm like, you can't really be doing this for us. We're too far away. Are you sure you know where we are? You know, they said they would bring the dog up. So it's just sort of was like, it's just an amazing, it's just like a miracle and a miracle and a miracle if you look at it the other way.
Mm-hmm. It seems like life, life offering the dog, offering to, you know, to care, to bring the dog. And then there's this whole other experience that, an optional experience that could add a whole lot of unpleasantness to the whole thing.
And then there was something about the name. Well, then I know the name is not. They go, oh, I've only had that name for 10 days or 2 weeks. So then all this urgency, right? Oh, gotta come up with a name. Right now. And so the you know, ego's telling me, you can't come up with a name that quickly. You don't come up with names quickly. Of course, I didn't really have to, but it was very practical to come up with a name because they'll immediately start using that name in training. So they threw out another name. I thought, oh, I kind of like that name. You know, and in no time, I've named the dog, which I never name anything. I mean, I debate about my chickens' names for you know, a month or, you know, so it's like, oh, the dog has a name. Okay, great, you know, get my picture taken with the dog, and then I'm already totally attached, which is just astounds me because I'm not, you know, a dog person or, you know, people have told me that, and I'm like, well, I think I'm a dog person. Well, whatever, you know, all I know is that I was holding this dog, and I just, like, was almost getting teary-eyed having to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. So that was just so great. Just that all of a sudden there's a bond, mm-hmm. And I know, and all that stuff about, I can't do this, I can't do that, it's not the right this, you're not there, who cares, you know? There's a, you know, this is going to be my dog. And so then since I didn't take the dog home, of course, you know, I'm driving home and there's all this stuff coming up about the dog and, oh, you have to find the right book and urgencies coming in and, you know, what if the dog runs out now? You know, and I'm just going, you know, I'm getting the dog. And that's just, need to say, stop.
No need for the conversation.
The dog is coming. Sorry, ego. The dog's going to be here. And anyway, it's just a great opportunity for everybody.
Just really seeing it as a workshop and practicing it in a way of a workshop and just dropping the story whenever you notice that something is coming up to tell you why you can't be doing what you obviously are already doing, and to, you know, to just see that suffering is not necessary in this whole thing. That, you know, life seems to be moving in this direction, and to be open to that and letting the rest of it go.
Yeah, very much so. So anyway, it's really all a blessing, and it just really is. It's, and I am just, I'm just filled with love for this little creature, and that will be with me. I'm just filled with love for him already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just really having that experience of love. Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about practicing the process of love. And for right now, as the opportunity is presenting itself to practice that process with this little creature mm-hmm. that's coming to work with you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Cameron, I saw your hand go up.
Oh, yes, there's still time.
Yes, there is time.
Okay, well, when we were talking a little bit ago about keeping score in the game, mm-hmm. it sort of became clear that is a huge source of suffering in all of life in the conditioned world. Mm-hmm. It has gotten, keeping score has gotten to be more important than living life.
Yeah.
So now, you know, people that are in charge of helping people get loans for homes and are doing it in a way that they know is going to fail so they can get the money, and people that are playing sports are taking steroids so they can be better than humans, and they're trying to hurt one another when they're playing games so that their opponents can't play, and it's hideous. So anyway, I hadn't really put those pieces together until we were discussing it here, how the game that we're playing is about the process. It's about how you play the game. And so, yeah.
Just about the, with the process being how the game is played and not the score, which is so fleeting, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, and you can lose your whole integrity, your whole heart, your whole reason for existing mm-hmm. when the content and where you are in the ladder of condition-defined success.
Yeah, it just takes us right out of the moment.
Yeah.
Of what might be there in the moment for some kind of distant score that never satisfies when we arrive there.
Yeah, well, and when we arrive there, then we just need more, because mm-hmm. now we're here and now we have to go further. Yeah, so that's kind of an aside, but it was an interesting one to kind of get the overall impact of that particular mm-hmm. thing that we do. I mean, everything is about the score. You know, people sitting around with these little games, you know, and then doing the digital games where you, how many people you kill is part of the score. I mean, it's just weird. So anyway, I kind of almost forgot what I was going to talk about. Well, in terms of looking at the process, is what I'm looking at in terms of the project for this year is going kind of beneath what's happening on the surface to what is actually the underneath sensations that are driving.
Uh-huh. So really looking at the sensations that are driving, would you say the conversations, the experience?
Driving conditioned reactions and responses uh-huh. to life and in a direction towards suffering rather than mm-hmm. towards freedom and love and mm-hmm. all of the things that we want. And it's been, several people have spoken about it, about how, yeah, we don't want to focus on conditioning, and yet if we don't know exactly how it's working and how this is, you know, it's on a subtle sensation level. If we're not aware of that, then it's hard to be turning it around. Yeah, so I related with that conversation because I've been really watching and feeling in my body when these sensations of kind of just, it's kind of like I put it into a physical form when I pant with my breath, kind of, it's that kind of energy mm-hmm. that's kind of underlying, but it's kind of an orientation to life, you know?
Let me see if I'm following you. What comes from the sensation is a particular orientation to life?
It's like the list, you know, the this, the that, the next, you know?
That you might say that it, that particular sensation then puts a maybe a particular identity in place or a particular.
It's a whole orientation. It's how it's the how. It's the how. It's the orientation towards here instead of here. You know, it's where
the
we're
orientation
going.
Orientation to the external.
What
versus
we yeah, what we got to get, what the result, where we're going, and I'm becoming aware of what those sensations are. It's that kind of panting energy, although my breath is not doing that out loud, like, but
internally you feel.
It's that, yeah, and it's, I think, as a six, fear is one of the main motivators and sensations. I think it comes from fear, but it creates fear. So it's like a big circle, big loop there. And so the so on that, on one level, there's the practice of noticing what's going on and how that happens and how I can be, how this being can be relaxed and peaceful, and then suddenly, you know, we got and working with that whole recognizing that energy and just stopping and, you know, breathing, and I choose peace and calm. And I choose to be here. I choose to be present to what is happening right here, right now, and how that's happening. And if I get it done, that's fine. And if I don't, well then,
I choose peace
sorry
and
about
calm
that.
Being the yes,
yeah,
the choice over getting it done.
Yeah, and you know, when there's that orientation, that has, you know, it's one of those grooves, especially, it's kind of hard to see because there hasn't been any great, like, huge accomplishments that I can say have been. You know, it doesn't seem like that would be going on necessarily with the life that I lead, and yet I've uncovered that as a motivating orientation that prevents really experiencing and being present in a loving way to life unfolding. And I think having more of those experiences is what has allowed me to see that orientation. Because it was just so what is that I didn't even know that was really going on. I just thought that's how everybody lives life, you know. You got things to do, you got to do them, and let's go. You know? And fun, what's that have to do with it, you know? So
seeing more of those experiences that you would, you'd never even realize that that was your orientation.
Right.
But having more of those experiences arise in a way that you get some distance on it. Or
having more experiences of being present and enjoying life and being amazed by the beauty and the blessings in every single second, and being too busy to see that before, or too connected with egocentric karmic conditioning self hate. And so having those as the as like, wow, that's really different. And then looking over at what was what has been happening instead, and how that's the groove that now I'm consciously working on stepping out of that groove so that I can spend more time over here in a completely different orientation.
And I thought you said something that was pretty key earlier on. It's like finding, you know, you're on an exploratory mission to find that the key. You know, what you described, being in a place of being, you know, peaceful and calm, and then there's that switch that happens that kicks it over into the habitual experience, and you're looking for that point where it just switches.
And it's just so funny. It's just like an orientation. It's not really, you know, it's just something that doesn't really even have to be there, but it is. It's an orientation.
It's an orientation.
Yeah.
An unnecessary one.
And the experience is that doing life from a centered place, it's much easier to get things done and to be on time and to remember things and But there's this this driven quality to that conditioned place that is, it makes the being fearful, it makes the being nervous and tense and afraid she's going to completely blow things and, you know, just be completely be kicked out because, you know, she's done something unexcusable. And all of that comes from that driven place of just not being able to, you know, gotta go on.
No, and also as you're saying that too, just knowing that in this process of looking, it's also possible to hold her.
Absolutely.
And that kind of awareness and, you know, to have room for her too.
Yeah.
Allow compassion to arise for all that she's experienced.
Absolutely. Boy, the poor thing, she's worked so hard and, she needs a loving, thank you.
And that's a great part of practice.
Yes, it is.
You know,
yes, it is.
And to just have the opportunity to watch it all.
Yeah. Give everybody a fresh start.
Yeah. Really, a fresh start moment by moment.
Yeah.
Really. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you.